I want to share a bit from starting in John chapter 17. Maybe let's start in verse 4, John 17, verse 4. Jesus says, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me." And as I read that passage this week and this morning, one of the things that stood out to me was in verse 6, where the characteristic of those whom Jesus was praying for, and those, I think in the context, we can even say that some of the completion of the work that he was sent to do was that those who he shared as the disciples kept the Father's word. We see it in verse 6. "They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." And I guess I would say what struck me in reading that was just reflecting on the fact that Jesus could say that about the disciples, that Jesus could say that these men that you've given me, they've kept your word. Because we know the disciples were they had their flaws, they had their failings. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They hadn't been empowered with that power that Jesus was going to die and give them. But it said they kept his word. And as I reflected on that, it just was both a challenge and an encouragement to me to have that same heart attitude. And what I can say, and I'm going to read a number of verses that tie into this, but I could say almost the conclusion of the matter is that if we reflect on what is the testimony of the disciples, that they left everything and it was their desire to follow Jesus Christ. It was their desire to obey what Jesus was teaching them. And because of that, because Jesus could discern their hearts and he knew that in their hearts there was a desire to obey and follow Jesus Christ, which made them disciples. That's the characteristic of a disciple, is one who keeps God's word, one who obeys the commandments of Jesus Christ. And I guess I could say that in reading this, it gave me hope, because the disciples were not perfect. They had a long ways to go, and like I said, they weren't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet, so there was a transformation and a power that was going to come into their life to make this keeping of his word even more real and even more powerful than it was at this point. But there was still a heart attitude of a disciple, is that they desire to keep God's word. And the disciples, to the extent that they were able, and to the extent that at this point in time that their lives could, that was their heart. That was their heart, was to keep the word that Jesus was saying to them. And then I'm going to, so with that context, I want to read some more verses that tie into that. So let's go to John 14. In John 14, verse 23, it says, "Jesus answered and said to him," this is a response to Judas, and asking how Jesus is going to be disclosed to them, how the Father is going to be disclosed to them. He says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So here it makes it really clear that if we want to live as a disciple, if we want to say that we love Jesus Christ, we need to keep his word. We need to keep his word. And I think as I was reflecting on this, it tied back a little bit to the fact that Jesus wants us to be perfected. He wants us to grow and mature into him. But irrespective of where we're at in our walk, whether we're just starting out, whether we've come and the Lord's brought us a long ways, whether we fell down yesterday and ended the day in repentance, or whether we can look back on yesterday and say, "Praise God, God's grace was powerful and I see a victory there." Irrespective of all of these things, the core and the key is that our heart attitude needs to be that we want to keep his word. That our heart's desire needs to be, "I want to keep Jesus' commandments. I want to have that reality in my life. I don't want a notional or some sort of idea of I'm a Christian because I can hang a label on me." You can call yourself a Christian all you want, but it says here, and I'll read it again elsewhere, that if we don't have a desire to keep his word, we're actually liars. We're actually liars. We're deceiving ourselves and deceiving others if we do not have a desire to keep his word. But I don't say that to condemn anybody. I say it to give a reality check. And I think what I've already shared emphasizes that this is about our attitude, about the purpose of our heart. And it does need to work itself out in reality. We need to be maturing and growing, that the fruit of Jesus working in our life should be coming more and more manifest. But it's not to say that we look today and say, how do we judge ourselves by whether we're keeping, we can sort of say, how do I say this right? You can come to a place of discouragement where if all you were focused on in the walk was just trying to keep his commandments and striving and making a list and trying to follow them out. Rather, it is an attitude of our hearts where God's Holy Spirit has written God's law in our hearts, and the outworking of that is that as disciples, as believers, as Christians, it is our desire to keep his commandments and to make that our purpose in our lives. And I was listening to a message this week that I think made this really practical, because that desire, how does it work itself out? Well, first off, how do we have a desire to keep his word? Or how does that practically work itself out? Well, first off, we need to know his word. We have to spend time understanding what Jesus has taught. It would be foolish to say, "I desire to keep his word," and yet give no attention to the actual instruction he's given us right here in the Bible. So if we want to keep his word, that is a key part of it. We need to be feeding on it and letting it come into our hearts and actually produce something that we're seeking to follow after. But I would say even more than that, you could read a lot of word, you could know the Bible backwards and forwards, but ultimately, keeping his word comes down to denying our own will, to saying, "I'm going to yield my will to your will, Father. I'm going to go and purpose this day that my will be denied and that your will have first rank in my life and will work itself out in my life." And that, to me, is where the rubber hits the road. That's where the application of keeping his word gets very, very practical. That would be our heart and our attitude, and that we would have that, and we would reflect on that. I think it's a good thing to reflect on is, am I living according to my own will? Do I go through this day purposing that I get what I want when I want it, and if I don't get what I want, I'm going to have a lousy attitude and be grumbling and complaining? Or is our attitude as we go through the day that when difficulties and challenges come, to say, "Father, help me to yield my will. You've allowed this for a purpose. You've allowed this test to come. And it's an opportunity for me to keep your word. It's an opportunity for me to yield my will and live as a disciple and have your will have first place in my life. And help me, because I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. This is not something we can complete in our own strength." But it is something that we need to have as the attitude of our hearts, that we want to live according to his will. We want to keep his commandments. We want to keep his word. And so we read here in verse 21 that, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And then we can also read in verse 21, in case there's any need to correlate what Jesus is saying with keeping his word and also keeping his commandments. He says the verse is the same thing in verse 21. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So we can see very clearly here that this keeping of his word is directly tied to keeping his commandments, to obeying the instruction he's given us. So if we want to keep his word, then we need to be hungering for his word, understanding his word, and allowing it to produce a desire in us, or submitting our own will to what we have been shown in the word, or what has been instructed to us in our conscience. And that is where we learn, and that is how we come to a place where we can say we're keeping his word. That would be the reality, the outworking of our faith, that we would be disciples, we would keep his commandments, and we would keep his word. So if we look here in John chapter 8, we can see some more promises and some of the hope and some of the promises to those who keep his word. In John chapter 8, verse 51, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who keeps my word, he will never see death. So in this, Jesus is sort of talking about, again, the Jews sort of are in this passage talking about they're free, and that there's this conflict going on between the Jews who had a sense or a self-righteousness to them. And Jesus is trying to tell them that the reality that I want to give you, the reality of knowing me and the reality of the promises are to those who keep his word. And to those who keep his word, they will never see death. That if we want to have eternal life, if we want to have the promise of the resurrection, it is to those who keep his word. It is to those who have a faith, a believing that produces a reality inside of us. That a faith that actually causes us to act it out, to walk it out, to yield our will when it's difficult, when the challenge comes. If we want to have the promise that we will never taste death, that we will have eternal life, then we need to be those who keep his word. And it's not, like I said all along, it's not that we actually come to a place where we're trusting in our own righteousness and saying, because I've kept enough commandments, I have eternal life. But rather, it's coming to a place where we say, you know what? I have a faith that is causing me to yield my will to the will of my Heavenly Father. I have a faith that is listening to the voice of Jesus. And as he is guiding me, and as he is teaching me his word, as he is teaching me his ways, I'm putting it into practice. I'm letting it change me. I'm letting it work itself out in my life. And all of this is just, I know it's self-evident. I think virtually everybody here is probably could be saying, I've read these verses before. But I can say for me, it was refreshing and encouraging to kind of remind myself of this, that Jesus has commanded and is looking for disciples. He's commanded us to make disciples. He wants his followers to make disciples. And he wants us to live as disciples. And what does it mean to live as a disciple? His disciples keep his word. His disciples have this in their heart. And we can say, like I read at the beginning, Jesus said and acknowledged that those who were with him, those who he was praying for, had kept his word. It's not that they were perfect. We can see that. It's not that they were perfect. But what we know is that they believed and sought to obey what Jesus was commanding them. A couple other verses I want to read on this. Maybe just kind of another promise we can see is in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 10, it says, If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things that I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. And what do we know about Jesus' joy? It says in Hebrews, I forget the exact verse, but he had more joy than anyone else who had ever lived, because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And here it's promised us that we can have that same joy within us. But it is a conditional promise. It says, if we keep his commandments, you will abide in my love. And we'll have that joy. And I can say it again, I've lived at times in my Christian walk where keeping his commandments became some sort of law or some sort of list of rules that were becoming manifest in my head that I was trying to keep in order to attain and abide in his love. Whereas what I can say, rather, how I've come to understand, and that as I've been sharing this morning, keeping his commandments is believing his word. Believing his word. Because we saw that in John chapter 17 when I said, when Jesus said he'd finished the work which he'd been given to do, he said the disciples has kept his word and they believed his word. They believed that what he was sharing was from the Father. So there can be no keeping of the commandments without believing his word. There can be no keeping of the commandments without reading it and believing that this is the word of God and actually having that hope within us, having that life within us that the word of God produces when received with faith. So keeping of the commandments starts with believing, but it is an outworking. There is that believing produces something in us. It produces a desire to obey. It produces a desire to yield our will. And when the difficult times come, when the conflict comes, we choose to submit our will to the will of our Heavenly Father. That's what it means to keep his commandments. It starts with reading, it starts with believing his word, but it actually produces that yielding of our will, that yielding of our desires to our Heavenly Father's desires, that yielding of our will to what we know to be the truth of God's word. And that's where the joy comes. That's where life comes. We can pursue a lot of things in this life to find joy. But if we truly want to have joy, then it's going to come as it's black and white. It's going to come through believing his word and keeping his commandments. That's where it's going to come from, as the promise says here. So maybe I'll finish in 1 John. It's in chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word of God, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. And the one who abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So again, it's affirming here that those who know Christ are disciples. They are those who keep his commandments. They are those who walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And in that, there's a promise that the love of God will be perfected in our lives, that we will have a confidence, that we will have a confidence and a knowledge of God's love for us as we walk this out. And it's not a love that is based on the fact that you look back on the day and say, I've kept all these commandments, therefore I know God loves me. It's a reality that just as our faith is working itself out in believing God's word and following it, that very same faith, that very same reality of keeping his commandments will also make the love of God a reality in our lives. We will have a confidence, as it says elsewhere in 1 John, we will have a confidence. We will have a foundation of God's love in our life because our faith is real, because our faith has resulted in works. Our faith has resulted in God's keeping his commandments. And I don't know if I can articulate it clearly, but they just go hand in hand, right? Like if we want to know God's love, if we want to know the reality of our Father's love for us, if we want it to be perfected in us, that we also need to purpose in our hearts that we want to keep his commandments. And I'm going to say it again, just because I don't want it to be lost. It's not waking up tomorrow and making a list of things we want to tick and say, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, therefore I've kept his commandments. It's waking up tomorrow and saying, Father, reveal your will to me in your word. Show me your will. Show me how I should live. Show me how I should live this life as a disciple. Teach me that and help me to follow it. That's keeping his commandments. Show me in your word how I should live this life and help me to do it. And that's the attitude of a disciple. That is how I understand keeping his commandments, where our will is submitted and yielded. As he shows us, we submit our will and we yield and we obey his commandments. We obey his teaching. And in that, we get to see all of the promises, all the reality of knowing, because that's what it said back in John chapter 14. We want to know the Father. We want to know the reality of knowing our Heavenly Father, which is a wonderful promise that I've been grateful to have come to a greater understanding, largely through things of messages I've listened to and some of the things that have been taught to me. But in the New Covenant, we can know our Heavenly Father. That was absent in the Old Covenant, but one of the great promises of the New Covenant is that we can know God as our Father. But how does that happen? How does that happen? It happens through a faith that keeps the commandments. It happens through a faith that has a reality to it that works itself out, that is a faith of a disciple. Because as I said, the disciples were flawed. They made lots of mistakes. They were still coming up short in many ways. Peter was yet to deny Jesus. But Jesus said, they've kept my word. And what did that mean? It meant they believed it and they were purposing to obey what Jesus. They couldn't even do it yet fully because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. But I can assure you, the attitude of the disciples was, I want to follow what Jesus is teaching. I believe what Jesus is teaching is the truth and I want to follow it. And they were coming up short in a lot of ways, but they were not coming up short in that way. In that way, they were right on point because they wanted to follow what Jesus was teaching. They wanted to obey it. And Jesus therefore said, they've kept my word. They've kept my word. And all the more so when they become filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and actually are able to see that word work itself out in them and become a reality in their lives. But already as disciples, their heart attitude was to keep his word and to obey his commandments. I'll maybe just finish with the start of chapter 2 because I think it helps us to just continue to have hope in the midst of this, because I don't want this, what I'm sharing, to be a yoke. I don't want this to be something. My desire in sharing this is not to have people walk out of here with a heavy heart. I do want it to be a reality check that if there isn't a desire, if our faith and what we're living as Christians doesn't line up with keeping his commandments and living as a disciple, then I do want it to be a reality check. I want it to be an opportunity to soberly reflect and say, God, if that's not the case in me, then repent and change me. But I also don't want it to be a yoke that people walk out of here feeling heavy and saying, well, I can't do this or I'm not measuring up, because it is fundamentally about believing than obeying. We have to believe. We have to have hope. We have to have that faith that what we read in God's word is true and that it can be a reality in our lives for us. And in that, it says in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And then he goes into what I just read about keeping his commandments. And I think there's a reason that the Holy Spirit led John to write it that way. That if we are coming up short, if we're seeing ways in which we have not been yielding our will, if we're seeing a gap between living as a disciple and where we're at, then we know that we do have an advocate with the Father. We have Jesus Christ the righteous, and his blood is enough. His blood is enough to sweep away all the shortcomings, all the sins. If we repent, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have that hope. We have that hope that if we're coming up short, if we've come up short, if we see it, and I can see it myself, I think any of us, you honest, you don't have to look back very far to see places where we've come up short of keeping his commandments and have something to repent of and something to ask God to cleanse our hearts of. I'm not saying that that isn't part of the walk as well. But it is also that we want a reality. So we have a promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That if we have stumbled and we've come up short, then we can get up now, immediately, repent and get up and begin walking again as a disciple. We can begin walking again right now as a disciple. Because if we repent and ask him to forgive us. But we also need to have that desire. We also need to have that reality in our lives that if we want to know what this gospel is about, if we want to know what this new covenant is, if we want to be those who never see death, if we want to have Christ's joy within ourselves, then we need to keep his commandments. We need to keep his word. It needs to be a reality in our life that God's word is something that we are seeking to obey. And not as a yoke, not as a set of rules, but as rather the source of life. The source of knowing our Father's love. The source of knowing Jesus' joy. The source of eternal life. That we would have that in our hearts. That I want to walk as Jesus walked. I want to have that reality in my life. I want to yield my will to my Father's will. Not that it's easy. Not that it doesn't hurt. Not that it isn't very difficult when the situation comes where our will is conflicting and not aligning with our Father's will. But a disciple has that attitude. It's black and white. A disciple has that attitude that I want to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's full stop. We've read it this morning. So we need to have that attitude in ourselves as well. And it's an attitude that gives us hope, that if you read all of this in context, if you take it all together, it's a wonderful hope. It's a high calling, but it is also a wonderful hope that we can have, that we have Jesus there making propitiation, ready to help us to get back up, that the Holy Spirit has been given to help us to live this life. The Holy Spirit has been given to help us obey his commandments, to see this become a reality in our lives. But as disciples, we need to have this attitude in our hearts. We need to make this a purpose that I want to keep his word, that I want God's commandments to be worked out in my life, that I want to walk as Jesus walked. So, I know it was a lot of repetition in what I shared. I hope that, I think for me, just in reading these things, it was kind of a, like I said at the start, it was like a refreshment and an encouragement that I need to have this attitude in myself, and hopefully that can be passed on to some of you.